God. I needed that this morning, let me tell you. Thank you, Eddie. I love you. I love you lots. It's really interesting because all the past chairmen are here from AFG, from San Fernando, and from Never Never Land. And hi, I'm Betty Ann Zetz. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon, especially this morning. This is our home convention, our favorite convention. And I think that I just want to give some kudos to Nick and the crew and Courtney and all of you. Sydney, I had no idea who in the hell you were Friday night. I was like, who is that broad? I've never seen her before. Anyway, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Love you, Grammy. And I just want all of us in Maine to really acknowledge everyone here that really played a part in this weekend, and especially the past chair people here from AA and Al-Anon, Mike and Corinne, and Dan and Diane, and people that keep asking me to come. I'll give them some, you know, credit. But and all the new people I met last night, and Doug, our preteen sponsor, I had no idea who in the hell he was. I mean, I swear to God. How many minutes do I have? 10?
We've got 40 minutes.
Whatever. Yeah, he goes, whatever. Don't say that to me. And Eddie's wife, who is always here, always supporting us. And I look at all of you, and Chris and Star let me have a room yesterday afternoon. Let me be able to sleep in her room and take a nap. And I ended up having all white sheets all over my black sweater. And you know, Star is so such an Al-Anon, she starts picking it off. And I'm like, you know, I'm like what the girls gave me from New Orleans. They gave me, you know, don't touch me. And Laura, how special you are in to really do this for 2 years. I would have never been able to get through it for 2 years. I would have fired everybody. No. I think that's, and you know, Sandra from one of my groups up in Westlake, you know, doing the decorations, which I think look like interesting. But, it's Sunday morning, I'm supposed to be spiritual. And Frankie Ann, everybody covering up. And, you know, I had the best time Friday because I sold raffle tickets, and not too many people were here Friday. But, you know, I noticed that they weren't selling raffle tickets, so I was thinking of Frankie. I was, you know, and I said, you know, I'm not too, you know, smart to, I'm going to get up and sell raffle tickets. And then you have that thing on the raffle tickets, you could do Venmo, you know? And I was like, you know, $20, you know, just, that's all I did. I never said $5 or $2. I said $20. And I think I made a lot of money for us, but I think who made a lot of money for us was Carol. Those damn pins, I tell you, those wonderful pins. And I just got to thank Keith, you know, for giving me, you know, four of mine, and so I could trade them in Albuquerque. Everybody, let's go to Albuquerque for the Al-Anon International in July next year. And so, you know, again, and I look at Heather, the treasurer, and I look at what's her face that I know that got up on the stage. Oh my God, you guys are crazy. But you know what? It was the best. It was the best. It was fun. And that's what we're here for. And then last night at our table, seeing, you know, Mimi, of course, you know, moving around all the time. I couldn't even see the speaker. You know, she's so ADD and, you know, whatever. Moving her hair, moving her clothes, you know. She looked wonderful, though. And some guy behind us was, Mimi's so funny. We're awful. But anyway, two guys behind us were talking, you know, when they were doing the invocation or something like that. And Yana, God love Yana, you know, I think you left a number of times. But anyway, so we turned over and I went, shh, like that. And Mimi, you know, they're saying shush us, you know, shush us. And it was so funny because they shut up. And so the girl next to me, one of the new girls from Hollywood, she said, listen, what if they would have, you know, not been quiet or whatever? I said, I have more time than all of them at that damn table. You know, so all of you, each one of you that are here, and Keith, I don't know what to say about you. Not much, but what else is there to say? You know, I mean, the dedication that you do for Catalina and for all of us and the men's fourth step and all the things that you do, but this convention, the last 2 years with you guys, I don't know how you did it. You did it, though. You absolutely did God's grace for all of us and to make us feel that we have a legacy. And I think that's the greatest part of this, is that you guys really, you know, remembered the legacy of not only this convention, but everybody that's here, and especially for the new people that are here, and for the Grammy that's here, that's a normie, I hope. But anyway, I'm going to get rid of all this, and I just want to say, you know, it's not only gratitude. I can remember everybody used to talk when I came in the program about gratitude, but I can remember how Marley from AA always said, gratitude is an attitude. And that's the attitude, and our AA speakers talked about last night, and our Al-Anon speaker talked about, you know, having not only gratitude, but the grace and thing of being able to pass it on. And I think that was the greatest example this weekend, that we all came and we all passed it on. You know, we gave it to somebody else, and we're going to take it to somebody else so they can be up here. And because that was my big goal. Oh, I want to be a speaker when I first came in the program. Then afterwards, I went, no, I don't think I better do it because I'm terrible at it. But anyway, I'm a talker. So one of the gifts, I went to a meeting. Every morning they have a 9 o'clock meeting, Val Nelson does. And I went to this meeting the other morning, and I've never heard this topic. And the topic was, what was it like when you first came in the program? And, you know, people usually talk about it in their talks or whatever. But I was thinking of all the experiences. And one of the gals gave me a calendar. Every year she gives me a calendar. And this one was kind of special, this calendar, because it was spiritual. It wasn't the bitch calendar. But anyway, it says, yesterday it said, I make friends easily. I'm outgoing and friendly, and others enjoy being with me. Well, you must enjoy being with me. So why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, I really enjoy being with you this weekend. Don't breathe, but, you know. And another one for today is that my words and actions are healing because they come from the heart. And I think that's what it's all about, is that we all come from the heart. That you got up this morning. I got up in dark, and I was thinking, usually I get up at dark, go in and go to the restroom or whatever, and then I go back to bed and wait till Bob. You know, I always try to move him in case he's not alive. And, you know, and today he celebrates 46 years, and he takes his cake today. Because he always says, I forced him to make a free decision. And but I was thinking of the gifts that we've all received, and I know that each one of you came up here and told me how you came in the program and what gift you received. I get to hear that during the week and at the meetings, and even with Zoom meetings or whatever, and people laying in bed sleeping and doing other weird things. But you know, that what a grace that is. What a grace that we could connect throughout the world, because those are the things that we did before Zoom and before COVID and all that. You know, it's like we all showed up, we all participated, and we all did something for somebody else and not get found out. And those are the kind of stories that my sponsor gave me. Those are the kind of memories when I came in the program that my sponsor gave me and showed me by her actions. And that's what the spiritual meeting is about. It's about in the morning is, you know, saying, you know, okay, what Meme says, you know, what miracle do you want me to, you know, be today? How can I help somebody else? And like I said yesterday, you know, in Texas, you know, they say a lot of different things. You just get up. And, but, you know, I was thinking this morning very early, you know, at 6 o'clock or whatever, which, you know, is my best time to think. or maybe it's not. But I was thinking of all of you and the privilege, it says in our literature, in our opening, the privilege of being able to be with you. And why do we keep coming here? Why do we keep waiting for, like Clara, the late Clara used to say that I sponsored, you know, she said, expect a miracle and don't leave before your miracle happens. And for you that are new, and I know none of you are new, you're all old, But I think the miracle of is being able, like, to see Eddie, to see, you know, to see all of you when I go to AFG or I go to Southern Cal or I go to, you know, sometimes when I go to other conventions around the United States and I see people from here that are doing the same thing of carrying the message. And that message always came through sponsorship for me. It always came through sponsorship for most of us. And, you know, I watched my daughter last night and yesterday. She's been clean for the last, you know, probably 9 months. And she lives out in the desert. And she called me the other day and she said something to me. She goes, "Mom, I'm really sad." And I would never have gotten that call a couple years ago. I would have gotten a call, you know, that she's in jail, or I would have gotten a call maybe 3 years ago and that she didn't know where she was. Or I might have gotten a call that she would say, "How's my son, who I raised?" You know, or I might have got a call and then she goes, "Well, I tried to see her daughter, Hannah, who she's been estranged from and separated from. They took her away from, her father took her away from, Hannah away from Amy." You know, and that call the other night, you know, that I'm sad. And that I was, you know, I was able to say, you know, "Well, tell me about it. Tell me why you're sad." And the first thing that came out of her mouth, which I see as the grace of God also within our children or our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren now, what I heard from her was that, "I'm so worried about Dad, that we're going to lose Dad." And she started crying. You know, I would have never heard those words over the last 20-something years. You know, and when I came in the program, I heard those words, you know, "Well, we really welcome you in Reno." I heard those words of, you know, them reading the steps like we read today, you know. We never read the concepts or anything like that. We weren't into that, you know. But what we were into was into the traditional things of the traditional principles of our meetings. And, you know, that snowy night, that cold night when I came into that first meeting, and I forced Bob to go in the back room to go to that meeting and puke on the shoes AA group. You know, I thought, "Well, this is real classy. Can I have my water, Yaneth, if you wake up?" "Okay." Now it's like, I'm burning up. Thank God she laughs. And you know, that first night, you know, that first night, leaving the restaurant, oh God, we have to leave our restaurant and go to a meeting, you know, and leave everybody out of our control, you know, and leave the bartender that I can remember I threatened, who was going to college in Reno, and I can remember threatening this bartender and saying, "If you give Bob another drink, I'm going to fire you." And then when Bob would come to the bar, he goes, "If you don't give me a drink, I'm going to fire you." And the old-time amends stories, and I'm sure people here know about the old-time amends story. If you haven't done that yet through the steps, and I see that, you know, people are nodding because we walk those people through those steps. And I can remember when I had to do a ninth step, you know, he was on the list, Rich was on the list. Some strange thing about sponsors, you know, and I might be jumping all over for the last 47 years, but one strange thing about sponsors, they always know what you think before you think it. You know, there's some strange reason. I don't know if it's we look weird or we act weird or we start out with a big lie, you know, but they know, you know, they absolutely know. But anyway, I had Rich on the list, and she says, you know, "He's on the list, and this, you got to make a direct amends, you know." And I said, "Well, they're in Boston. You know, him and his wife are going to med school in Boston. And I don't know what college, I don't know where they are, you know, because I used to threaten him all the time, you know." And he was such a great guy, Rich was, just a great guy. But I think the greatest stories are, is the fact is that I did something that I really didn't want to do because I was so guilt-ridden, you know, by the fact of my actions. And that's what turned around for me when I came into Al-Anon that first 2 years, or my actions, you know, how I acted insane, how I went through step two, like, you know, finally when I looked at, I remember Duffy up in Northern California say, because he didn't have a high school education. He said, read the words in the dictionary. Look in the dictionary and read the words. And so I remember taking sanity, because I thought, sanity, you know, and all it means in the dictionary is to be restored to sane thinking. And, you know, that really, you know, that really taught me how to really do that fourth and fifth step, is to get back to sane thinking, how insane I was and the actions that I took that were insane, you know, or whatever, and how God came through my life. And, I had a hard time with God, and it was good orderly direction. But anyway, I remember with Shirley, my sponsor, you know, she said, you got to find Rich and his wife, and you got to make amends. I said, well, I don't know where they are. And so what I did is that she said, well, go to the library and look in the telephone books for Boston and go through all the hospitals. And at that time, we had carbon paper. And, you know, young people are, what's that? You know, what the hell is that? But you had to put this dirty paper between papers, you know, and then you had to write the letter, you know, and all that, and keep a, that was your copy of it, right? Because, you know, Shirley was smart. She goes, I want to see the copy of it. Oh, okay. But anyway, so I went to the library in Reno. I'll never forget it. It was really a nice place. And she said, you could practice the 11th step there. I went, oh, God. But anyway, so I went there. I went through the dictionary. I took all my envelopes, and I did those letters. It took me all day and the next day. And I did the envelopes. I wrote his name on every hospital in Boston. And I wrote a letter, and I carbon copied it, and, you know, I made amends to him. You know, I'm in Al-Anon, and I feel so badly about how I treated you, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and I put that in that amends letter. And I went and bought stamps, which were really inexpensive then, like 20 cents, and I bought stamps, and I stamped the envelope, and I even put a return, because my sponsor, I said, you always put a return address. So I think I had about 26 of these envelopes. And anyway, and she always taught me another thing, too, sponsors do. She said, you know, God is good orderly direction. And so the direction she gave me, she said, when you go to the post office and you mail, you know, all these amends letters, what you do is that you always put God in first and then put the group behind you. And I said, well, can I put you in front of me? And she kind of laughed and she goes, no, Betty Ann, you know, just you go in first. You take that first step. And that's how I learned how the steps were, in action steps. That's how I learned the steps. You take the action on every step. And Shirley always told me, you have to be conscious. Daily, I have a conscious contact, not only with Al-Anon, with God, and with me, of course, until she got tired of me. And she'd say, call somebody else. No. Anyway, I sent them all out, forgot about them, never thought about them. You know, mail at that time was not, you know, not too fast. And a couple months later, whatever, I get a call. You know, and it said, this is Boston University, ER or whatever. And I also got a letter that day. Very interesting. And I remember opening up the letter and I saw a Boston address. And it didn't dawn on me, you know, what it was. And I opened it up and it was Rich, you know. And he said, I'm going to call you today. And, you know, at that time, phone calls were, like, really expensive, and especially long distance, nothing like we have today, right? And I think that's why we all have a really good program. I think the old-timers and the long-timers and the people that have been in the last 5-10 years, we have a really good basic, you know, feel about what the program is and about 12-step work. So anyway, I get this call, and Rich said, Betty Ann, did you read the letter? And I went, Rich, you know, and I said, well, I just started to read the letter. I said, he goes, well, this is kind of a God shot. He said, I'm the head of the emergency room in Boston University Hospital, whatever. And he said, I got your letter. And he said, I also got some literature. And I said, oh, yeah, I forgot. I sent you some literature to, you know, hospital institution. I think we had one piece of literature or something. Anyway, he said, you know what? He said, I am so glad Bob's alive. And I said, why? And he goes, well, you know, the ultimate Al-Anon slip is when you kill him. And he said, I thought you'd kill him all the time. He said, I thought you'd poison his drinks or, you know, do the, you know, on the front of the car threatening him that, you know, don't run over me. And he would. And you know, he said, you know, it's really interesting. He said, because we have a lot of alcoholics that come in here. But he said, we're really confused about the families. We're really confused that these women bring in the kids or these guys bring in their kids, and, you know, they take the alcoholic home, you know. And he said, it's really confusing. And he said, so I'm gonna take your sponsor's suggestion, because I wrote in there, Shirley, my sponsor. I didn't say, well, she told me to do this, but I almost did. But anyway, you know, he started getting literature from the Al-Anon and the AA office in Boston. So if you go to Boston University, if there's no AA or Al-Anon literature in there, and that really taught me about public information, and that's one of the other gifts that we get when we're of service. But I could tell you hundreds of stories over the years of what we've done, what spiritually we've done. I think the greatest gift was, you know, our first month in Al-Anon and AA, my first month, he was sober, but I mean, it was craziness. And Bill and Venice, you know, who were, you know, they were kind of like our Eskimos, they call them. Anyway, they invited us over to their house one day, and they said, you know, we got these tapes, and we heard a tape of who did we hear a tape of? Oh, Clancy, which Bob thought he was crazy. This was a crazy guy. And, you know, completely nuts, you know. And then we heard a tape of Lois Wilson. And I can remember saying to Bob, oh, I want to meet her. And it was a short kind of tape. You know, she was speaking at this, you know, family groups thing. And anyway, you know, and that was our first introduction to really, you know. And then they said, you know, we've got a little surprise for you. If you can find a babysitter or someone to take care of your kids, we're all going to the Las Vegas Roundup over Thanksgiving weekend. We're like, Thanksgiving weekend? We're going to leave our kids and our family and, you know, go to Las Vegas? Okay. And anything to get rid of those five kids. Mm-mm. So, you know, they paid for it. They paid for our flight, they paid for our registration, they paid for our lunch and our banquet, the breakfast, they paid for everything, and our hotel, and they checked us into that. And I remember, I was a little, you know, embarrassed, you know, that we didn't have that money, but I was acting as if, you know, oh, you know, we have this big restaurant. I didn't tell them it was going down the tubes, you know, or whatever, and because alcoholism hits everything, you know, in your lives. Business is everything. And this weekend, you know, I had, you know, someone buy my luncheon ticket, someone buy my registration, and, you know, and that's what we do, is we pass it on. We help each other, and we know instinctively who those people are that we can help, you know. And but anyway, we went to the Las Vegas convention, and there was an old-timer there, Harry, and he was a lawyer. He was one of the first 200, you know, with Bill and Wilson, and I mean, it was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And it was like history, you know, and everybody was dressed up in jewels and sequins, like Friday night. They all looked like hoes, and, you know, all these alcoholic women, yeah. And of course, they were trying to hook up, and, you know, at the dance, and but it was so beautiful. And, you know, when we walked in, you know, it's not that everybody ignored us like a high school, you know, whatever. Everybody, you know, said hi to us. We didn't know anybody in Vegas, you know, but we got to know people in Vegas and AAs and Al-Anons. And we're, you know, been very good friends and close friends with Las Vegas people for years. In fact, they come to Catalina and they come to the Four Step and the girls do from Vegas. But anyway, so we still have those kind of connections. So, you know, the thing that I'm trying to share about this morning is the spiritual aspect. There is no spiritual aspect. The whole group is spiritual. Everything is spiritual here in regards to what we do, you know, and how we, like when you show up this morning or show up, my sponsor always said, you show up to a meeting early and you leave late and you wash the coffee cups. And I was pregnant at the time. And she said, and you wash the ashtrays. And because everybody smoked then. And I'm like, what the hell? I got to, you know how that little peanuts thing and, you know, the little the circles in there and they're saying what they really mean. And I was thinking, you know, what does this bitch want me to do? Is wash, I'm 9 months pregnant, you know, and I've got to wash the ashtrays? You know, and, but I did. You know, I did. And I did those things that, you know, I kind of like didn't want to do, but I got so much praise about it. You know, oh, thank you for doing the ashtrays, or thank you from the AAs, you know, and especially the AA women, you know. And then, you know, I was very estranged from my father, who was an alcoholic, or I call him a drunk too, and my stepmother. And it was really interesting because AAs and Al-Anons gave me a baby shower for JR. And one of the Al-Anons, because we were living down in Georgetown, outside of Reno, outside of Auburn at the time, because we lost our house, we lost our business, we lost everything. And we were down there, and one of the Al-Anon, I call them the old broads, the old with gray hair, you know, blue hair. And now I dye it. But anyway... And those ladies, and they, I'll never forget, they used to knit in the meeting all the time and crochet. And I never heard anybody say anything about it until I got to California. And but anyway, they were always knitting, and they would, you know, very rarely share or whatever. But anyway, they all showed up for this baby shower that I had for when I had JR, well, before I had JR. They all showed up. And this lady that was knitting in the meeting, these two ladies, they made this wonderful blanket for JR. You know what? He's 46 years old now. And that blanket has been passed on to his son. It's shreddy, but, you know. But, I mean, those are the gifts that we get for the things that we do here that is God's grace and God's gift of passing it on. That's all we have to do. We just got to get up and pass this on. And I was really, you know, I'm always impressed Friday night. I'm always, the skit or the meetings or whatever, you know. But the thing that I see is I see what you're doing here. You know, you show up early, you stay late, or you miss a meeting. You know, whatever you do, like offering me the room yesterday. Come lay down in my room because I'm old now. And... But, you know, I have to go back again to the grace of the program of people that this is our family and our home. And I used to say, you know, I had a blood family and this is my real family or whatever. That's not true. I have a real family that the steps and the traditions gave me to not only make amends to my family, but to be part of that family, which was very violent and, you know, very, you know, whatever. You know, during you live with an alcoholic father and an untreated mother, you know, and sisters and brothers. I've lost two brothers into alcoholism. I've lost two, my husband has lost two grandchildren to addiction. We've had a lot of loss in the program. But I just heard this weekend we have another loss of one of our parents lost his son the other day. From an overdose. And you know what? We're all going. We're all going all the way to see me. Well, all the way. That's nothing compared to what we used to do. But, you know, going to Simi Valley, going to the funeral, you know, being part of something, just showing up. And that's 90% of the situation with Al-Anon, that we show up and we take those commitments and we do the things that we want to do. Anyway, I think I'm getting completely off guard. You guys are all bored. And, how much? Oh, forget it. Anyway, I'll let them go eat. Eat cake. But Sam owes me cake. But anyway, you know, to get back to that story, and that's what we have. That's the only thing that we have experiences. And, you know, and I notice that in meetings, people are not talking about experiences. They're talking about topics. You know, and I'm like, well, give me an experience that you had with that topic, you know? I don't want to hear about your relationship or your dog had, you know, or your cat had this or whatever, you know. I want to hear what is that experience, you know, and what is the experience that you've had. And that's why I love literature. This is a One Day at a Time book, and Yonath knows, a lot of you know this story. My sponsor Shirley sponsored a lot of ladies, and well, at that time there was only like, I think, 10 of us, but anyway, that was a lot to have a sponsor, you know, and I was always vying for her attention. I always wanted her attention, Shirley's attention, and we lived in Georgetown, so we'd have to drive, you know, 35 miles or something, you know, through the American River Canyon, and I mean, it was horrendous. It was beautiful on the way there to Auburn, but when you got to that canyon, it was like, you know, alcoholic driving with Bob. But anyway, and I was big and pregnant, but I remember, you know, going downstairs in the basement, you know, where we had the Al-Anon meeting, and the AAs got to be upstairs, and all of us girls, you know, you sat around a table then, and this is why I think it's so important. I remember my Monday night group, and then years ago, my parent group, they fought about the damn tables, you know, and I thought, they're having a group conscience. I like to call them business meetings now, because this group conscience is like the group is bullying you, you know, whatever. But anyway, they had this thing about the tables in the parent meeting. And, you know, and I like the tables, well, because I'm old. But I always liked the tables, right? So anyway, they got through that. And so we had one lady that is an event planner or whatever. This is the miracle of the program, and especially of business meetings or whatever. Anyway, she does events, and she, you know, so we had her plan how to do the seating, and everybody liked it. You know why? Because it wasn't me. And then on Friday night, my little army guy that came home, on Friday night, you know, we had the tables for, I don't know, 20 years or whatever, and we're celebrating our 34th anniversary this March. Anyway, so we have these tables, and of course we're having group consciences, and I'm trying to say, let's stick to steering committees or business meetings or whatever. And you know, I had served in World Service. I'd served in the intergroup, you know, in Reno and Texas, and, you know, I did a lot of service, and it's so good to have what we talked about, that rotation of leadership, of other people being of service. I wouldn't do what you did, Keith. But anyway, so what was I saying? Now I can't remember what I was saying. Huh? Oh, dead Friday night, the tables. Now, this is a lot of years of the program, right? And I like people, you know, in my group. I really like them. And, you know, I could never figure out when I moved to California from Texas, it says, you may not like all of us, but you'll love us in a special way. So I used that for my mother-in-law, and not with you. I used to be very naive about Al-Anon and people that were in Al-Anon. But anyway, our group, Tradition 5 group, they made a decision. They're taking away the tables. Now, the grace of that is, and boy, I remember Mimi one time told me, she goes, Betty Ann, quit making all those faces. Yeah. You know, whatever. And just be quiet. And I'm like, stop it. I get more time than you. But anyway, and Nick would, you know, Nick, thank God, went along with me sometimes. And, you know, because my sponsor always told me, Sally always told me, you have a seat at your home meeting. You have a seat and you sit there every week where you can see the door and people coming in and they can see you. That is the most important thing about a home meeting, that people that come in can see you. And I thought, no, I'm not going to be able to see people in the meeting because it's an old traditional thing, you know, from my sponsor and from the meeting. But anyway, so they changed the meeting, and by the grace of God, guess what happened? All of a sudden, the AA show up at 6 o'clock. And so they put up the chairs, and they leave the chairs the last couple years. Well, not this last year. But I mean, see, if I would have had my way, and if you guys would have gone my way, we would have still had tables. And but you know what? It all works out in the end. And I have to remember, this is not the end, you know. And what I really loved about the program, too, was the fact is that when we'd, you know, drive into that meeting and go in the basement in the early morning, I mean in the evening, and we'd go to that meeting, the A's were upstairs and we were downstairs, and then we had the privilege of going over to my sponsor's house afterwards, and we'd stay up all night. And that's why a lot of you that are sponsors, that you know, you have your sister meetings, your brother meetings, or you do all these things together. And I think that was the greatest community that we have, is that we can do the fellowship. There's a difference between the program and the fellowship and world service. You know, those three combinations will keep us in good stead for another 100 years. But anyway, so we go to this meeting, and I'm big and pregnant, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm just so tired and all this. But my sponsor told, and her sponsor was named Shirley, so we had... her sponsor was named Shirley, so it was Shirley and Shuri, like Daryl and Daryl, you know, from the Bob Newhart show. Young people are going, what was that? But anyway, you know, so we go to the meeting, and my sponsor would say, okay, nobody can smoke. And she smoked, and so did her sponsor. They both smoked. And the grace was that they'd all stop smoking. And everybody would share their experience, and they'd go around the room. And that's why I love going around the room. You can see everybody and you can hear everybody. You don't have to raise your hand. But my sponsor taught me one thing one time. She said, Betty Ann, you don't have to share at every meeting. But I went, oh, really? But because, see, nobody listened to me before. Nobody heard me before in my family. Nobody heard me. Even after Al-Anon, they did not hear what we were saying, that we can be spiritually involved together, you know, that we have a spiritual communication. And that's what Shirley and Sally and Patty taught me. We have an Al-Anon language, a spiritual language, and that language can perceive into maybe saving somebody else's life. Because you know what, when you sponsor people, you are emotionally involved with these people. And sometimes, you know, there is some that are incapable of being honest with themselves. And there's some people that you just got to let go by, you know. And you know what? They never gave up on me. Never gave up on me. And plus, you know, I was always the class clown. And now I'm, the Al-Anon clown. And so the meeting one night was going around. And I just have a few minutes, right? Okay. I'm going to close with this little story, and a lot of you have heard this story, but anyway, the meeting was going around, and there was a hippie girl there, and she always had her long hair, and she had her baby on her boob all the time. Nobody ever bitched about it, and her other little kids, the old-timers, would take the baby out, you know, and so that she could, and she never shared, you know, and we knew her alcoholic husband was horrible husband. Anyway, so one night it came around the room, and she kind of lifted up her head a little bit, and she said, you know, I brought the baby tonight, and we had to walk to the meeting. And they didn't live in a really nice part of Auburn. You know, it's very hilly. And she said, I think I had too much pride to call anybody. And I remember those words. I had too much pride to call anyone. And so, and I'm sitting next to her, and I'm like, this broad never talks, you know. And all of a sudden, she's telling this story about her husband's out drinking, got his paycheck. They turned off the lights and the gas, and, you know. And I'm like, okay, you know. I mean, you know how you have that feeling, that compassionate feeling, that feeling of love? And that's the only place I've ever gotten it here, is that feeling of unconditional love. And I remember I used to always put my arm around, you know, people's shoulders if they cried. And my sponsor said, don't give them Kleenex. You know, let them use the snot on their, you know, whatever. Don't disturb that moment. Don't disturb that moment. And Mike and we were talking about it last night. Finally, someone came up because Michael, you know, wanted to give the speaker a napkin, you know, because they had no Kleenexes there. And it was her choice to use that. But anyway, so she shared about this horrible thing, and her husband's out drinking, and the little boy was, you know, outside with the, with my sponsor. And so it came to me, and I shared, you know what, I'm Betty Ann Zetz, and I'm very grateful. We didn't say Zetz. I'm Betty Ann. I'm so grateful to be here tonight, and I'm going to pass. And that's what I'm going to do in about 1 second. I'm going to pass. Anyway, I'm going to end with this story. And so everybody laughed, you know, and she kind of laughed too and all that. But that night, my sponsor put me in the car, and that's my license plate at my 15th birthday. They gave me my license plate, and it says, get in the car. And because my sponsor always said, get in the car. And boy, you got in the car. And I was big and pregnant. We went up to the grocery store. I wasn't even paying attention because I was talking. You know, it's like Sally always said, her mouth was attached to the doorknob when Keith would come home. Where have you been? What have you been doing? What have you been drinking? But anyway, I'm talking about Bob. Everything's about Bob. And we get up there to the store, and she's throwing, making me push the basket. She's throwing crap in there and all this kind of stuff. And we get back in the car and then bagging and all this. And then all of a sudden we're driving down the street. She turns off the lights. I said, oh, my God, I'm with a serial killer sponsor, you know. And we pull up in front of this house, and I'm big and pregnant. And she said, hey, Betty Ann, okay, get those two bags out of the car in that envelope. And she said, I want you to take that and run it up to the house. Run it up to the house. I'm 9 months pregnant. And she goes, run it up to the house, drop the bags off, and pound on the door, and then run back. And while she was smoking a cigarette. And I thought, you know, that little cloud, you know, what the hell is she, you know, what is this? Okay, I'll be glad to. And, you know, it's called spiritual experiences and spiritual awakenings and spiritual, you know, obsession. But anyway, so I got out of the car, got those two bags, and I ran them up. Well, I didn't run them up, but, you know, got him up there, put him down, and I looked in the plate glass window, and here she was sitting in the dark. She was feeding the baby again, and the little boy was sitting next to her, and they had a lantern, you know, that had a little fuel in it, and it was lit. And I looked at that, and that's what we look at in our literature, those stories, and I listened to your stories. And all of a sudden, I saw her husband coming down this long hallway, heard this noise, and he was bouncing against the walls, and he came in, and he goes, what the hell, why is this off? And she said, you know what, honey? She stood up, and she said, you know what, honey? She said, you know, they turned off the gas, they turned off the electric, and the water. And he said, well, why? And she was very, very strong about it. You know, she said, well, you know, we didn't have the check today, and you know, she never said anything about his drinking and where he was or what he was doing, you know. And later she told us that why. But anyway, so I just, you know, I was amazed by this. And he started crying. And so I just dropped those bags and ran back to the car. Well, as fast as I could. My sponsor, we drove off, and she said something that we all know. She said, Betty Ann, you don't ever say anything, you know, just for today. I'll do something for somebody else and not say anything. And she said, when I die, you can tell that story. So she's dead. I'm telling the story. But the grace of it is that, and there was an envelope. And I didn't know this, but I had the envelope in the grocery bag. Anyway, the next week, I went to the Thursday night Auburn meeting. If you're ever there, please go to that meeting. Don't mention my name. And but anyway, she came. She looked great. She had her Birkenstock shoes that she made, and she had the baby and the little boy, and she was like all happy. And I'm like, what the hell happened here? But anyway, she shared, and she said, you know, the strangest thing happened. She goes, I really believe that this is a God program. She goes, because I was so destitute and so, you know, so scared. And she said, some big fat person came to the door, dropped off this bag, and dropped off this envelope with all this money in it. And she said, and we were able to pay the bills the next day and have everything turned on. You know, it's like when I went to my baby's funeral, and I got out of the car, and my father didn't show up for my baby's funeral. And people like Eddie, you know, people like Jared, Nick, they came up beside me and held me and said, we'll be your dad today. You know, we can walk through anything if we do it together. I'm going to close with this prayer I put on my card that Keith gave us. And it says, God, help me to accept the seemingly bad as well as the good which is necessary for my growth. Thank God for all of you for being here this morning, because you've made my day and you've made me feel like a person of worth. And that's what Al-Anon is worth. Thank you, Mimi. Thank you, Yana. Thank you, all of you. And Keith, especially, thank you and thank you for being part of my life. God bless.